simply are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, with mercy, who has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Reading comes from the book of Isaiah, the 51st chapter. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment. And they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now invite Maya up to play a song on the piano for us. epistle lesson for this evening comes from the book of Jude. But you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse and the reading of the Holy Gospel. St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the clock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the word of God, we now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, which we found on page 206. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as we continue. Continue with our sermon hymn. There it is. Number 508, verses 1 through 4. And peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remember when I was quite a bit younger, when I was really just getting into reading larger books or novels, you know, the kind that doesn't have pictures or anything, just straight words. I remember when I was first getting into those, I had a friend of mine who tried to give me some advice. She said, just go to the end of the book, read at least the last couple paragraphs, maybe even the last chapter, and then go forward and read the whole book. She said, that way, the suspense won't get in the way of reading the rest of the book. So I went back, and I had the book that I was planning on reading, and I did exactly what she said. I read the last page and a half, really, of the book, and then I went through and read the rest of the book. It ruined the story. It just ruined it. The whole time that I was reading, all I could think of was, well, this really isn't important, is it? I already know how it ends. It ruined the book for me. And while jumping to the end would certainly ruin a good novel that you're reading, well, I guess, of course, that depends on who you are. For my friend, that's what she did. So I guess it didn't ruin it for her, but it certainly ruined it for me. But the Bible has a tendency to do this on purpose.
doesn't want to leave you with the suspense of wondering about what's going to happen. He tells you. He lets you know. The irony is always that we don't always get it. Sometimes we get it wrong as human beings in general. He told the disciples about his purpose for going to Jerusalem. He told them over and over and over again that he was going to die and he was going to rise again. But the disciples, they just don't quite get it. I mean, they're surprised when Jesus is arrested in Jerusalem. Peter even tries to fight him off with a sword for a bit. They're surprised when he hung on the cross. They're surprised and scared when he dies. How many times had Jesus told them that he will rise again? Yet they lock themselves in a room for fear. And they are amazed when Christ appears to them. Yes, Jesus tells them exactly what is going to happen. And they still don't get it. They miss it. That being said, I'm not so sure that we do it any better. Jesus says, "This is my body," to Christian churches all around us tonight. And that's just really the tip of the iceberg in the grand scheme of things. But then there's our passage for tonight, our text for today. In both the Nicene as well as the Apostles' Creed, we confess that we believe that there will be a bodily resurrection, that Christ will return to take us to be with him for all of eternity. The creeds function as a base for what we believe, not just as Lutherans, but as all Christians. The ancient Christian churches adopted them, and we carry them on, uniting us with those that have gone before us. However, coming back again to our text, we see a different. Yet, how often is it said, even by good Christians, whenever we start talking about death, especially, how often is it said that when we die, our soul goes to heaven and that's it? That's where we remain for eternity. As if there's nothing to come after this. But that's it. That's all we as Christians look forward to. But coming back again to our text, we actually see a different picture. Our text follows closely after last week's gospel reading, where Christ gives the disciples a warning about the things that they will endure. They will be persecuted. They will be handed over. They will be betrayed by brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers. They will be hated for Christ's sake. And all these things will happen before this generation passes away. In this, Christ talks about endurance. Even more, Christ, in the few verses in between the two texts, talks about how they will flee at a certain point. They will all flee. They will go to the mountains and basically get out of Jerusalem and so on. And while they are to flee, and as they are to scatter, it is here in our text for this evening that we are told not about scattering, but about bringing back together, about being brought back together. We are told about how Christ will return, that there will be an actual resurrection of the dead, and that at that time, we will be gathered from all the earth. No matter where we have been scattered to, it doesn't matter. Christ, through his angels, will gather us all up. The text, this text, is very important, especially as we come to the end of yet another church year. We are all too often focused on all the things going on, and in fact, around this time of year, we're all too often focused on all the things that come just next. We're focused on Advent and Christmas and wreaths and candles and so on. But it's worth taking the time to think about the return of Christ. It's worth realizing that it is, in fact, a day on the calendar. It is a time that we will know and that we will experience. There will be a day when Christ returns, and we don't know when that day will be. Yes, Christ's words are not words of fear. They are not words meant to even cause fear, but instead, words of joy. You see, in the midst of all these bad things that he's talking about, in the midst of all these bad things that he is telling his disciples that are about to happen, and in the midst of all of that, the kingdom's crumbling, the persecution's coming, there will be a time when it ends. And more than just ends, there will be a time when our Savior comes to collect the elect, that is, those that have salvation through him. Christ will come. And when he does, he will gather together all those people who would have salvation. He would gather all those people that put their faith in him, all those who, when everything else dropped, clung to him on that day. This could be any day. It could be tomorrow or the next day. He will gather us. And nothing, nothing will be able to get in his way, neither life nor death. Those who clung to him in faith will be collected to be with him for all of eternity in the new heavens and the new earth. As we end this church year, let us then set our eyes upon Jesus. No matter what has happened throughout this past year, and no matter what tomorrow may hold, Jesus is our rock. He is our salvation. Let us set our eyes upon the risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who through his work upon the cross gives to us salvation. In him be the power and glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as we prepare our hearts. Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in need. As we pray, each petition will end, Lord, in your mercy. The congregation response is hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have revealed to created things destined for destruction a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. In these gray and latter days, set the hearts of your baptized children on what lasts, and help us to be a people who truly wait with anticipation for the glorious appearing of Christ the King. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Kind and merciful one, your Son came into the world to bear witness to the truth. Even all who worship you in your holy name, that we receive through Christ Jesus, especially we ask that you of those who worship and praise your name here at St. John's Lutheran Church, including the Boyer, Mozart, and Bradley families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Omnipotent One, your Son is truly the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Remember in your mercy our President and Congress and all who bear office in our land. Give them wisdom to know what is right, courage to follow it, and integrity to do so in honor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Ancient of Days, you know the secret of our hearts. Give to us genuine repentance and faith, that we may live ever mindful of your day of judgment, knowing that you alone can keep us from stumbling and present us blameless before the presence of your glory with great joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In the midst of heaven and earth that pass away, we beg you, Father, to strengthen by words that will never pass away all who are in any affliction or trouble, heartache or pain, remove from them all fear, and help them to look forward to their full and final healing at the appearing of your Son. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of glory, in your Son's Eucharist, he invites us to taste and see his goodness and love. Prepare our hearts to welcome him as he comes to us in his most holy body and blood. By this sacred gift, grant us the joy of forgiveness, the peace of his presence, and the hope of beholding our King's glory in the age to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Receive our thanks and praise for all those who have died in the faith. Especially we give you thanks for Joey Baldwin, and ask that you be with all those who mourn his passing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all of us, we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now continue with the service of the sacrament, which is found on page 200. Thank you. we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. With my body given for you, do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he gave thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it